Good morning. How good it is to be in this decorated and beautiful space to gather together in a spirit of worship this morning. It is always good to be together, and especially with these beautiful Christmas decorations. How wonderful. It is indeed our first Sunday in the season of Advent, the Sunday when we celebrate and lift up the gift that is hope. I want to pay a special welcome to those of you who might be with us visiting this morning. If this is your first time visiting with us here at St. John's, we want to welcome you in a special way, but we also want to ask you to find the card at either end of your pew. And once again, my card up front is missing and I keep forgetting to replace it, but it's a little brown card. If you could fill out that information and just drop it in the basket on your way out to the right of the back door. It's just simple information to help us stay in touch so that we can get to know you and you can get to learn more about us. And I trust that all of you know that whether visitor or not, that no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. We couldn't be entering into the season of Advent without a long list of announcements. So there's a lot to pay attention to in the days and weeks ahead as the season unfolds. So my disclaimer reminder, please pay attention to your herald and your enlightener. We spend a lot of time to make sure they are chock full of all the information you need. That's the best place to learn about things because believe it or not, sometimes I forget to say things on a Sunday morning. So the first of which, we do want to pay a special thank you to everyone who came out to help decorate yesterday. The help was greatly appreciated, and I'm sure it was a festive time, and it's beautiful. So well done, and thank you. As we enter into Advent, we have an Advent carry-out connection bag for our children for their take-home Sunday school. They are available on the table in the narthex. You can't miss them. And also, our in-person Sunday school event this month will take place next Sunday. Following our 10:15 worship service, we will have lunch, and there will be some games and activities, and that will be in the assembly hall following our 10:15 service. And our 10:15 service is the only service we will have next week because it is White Gift Sunday. So our annual White Gift celebration will happen next Sunday at 10:15, which doesn't affect you guys. I had to pay a special reminder to our 8 o'clock service that if they came at 8 o'clock, there would be no worship happening. But at 10:15, we will all gather in the same place at the same time to offer our gifts and to enjoy the celebration that is White Gift Sunday. There is an announcement about that and information if you haven't seen it on the back of your bulletins. It has the shopping list and some other details you might need to know. Also in the bulletin, there is an announcement about our poinsettias, so please pay attention to that, and also Reverend Dale meetups, which are still happening, but will probably be ending by the beginning of the new year. So if you haven't had a chance to meet with Pastor Dale, please take advantage of the last few Sundays to do that. Another reminder, we will be having a new member gathering on December 18th in the library following our 10:15 worship service, which is around 11:45. There's many of you in our midst. I know several of you that are interested in learning more about St. John's and what it means to be a member. So we are inviting you to join us for that. For a variety of reasons, it has been quite a while since we've had new members welcomed into our community. There was a pandemic, the whole thing. So it's an exciting time, and I know there are people who are looking forward to learning more, and we are looking forward to learning more about you. So please join us on December 18th. Also happening in the library after worship today is our first confirmation gathering of the season, so looking forward to meeting with our four confirmands. So that is happening in the library after worship this week as well. And I believe those are the last of our announcements. I want to have Andrew come and share our final announcement.
Good morning, everyone. Today marks a special day for St. John's. Not only is it the first Sunday of the Advent season, but today is the first day since the installation of the Schultz Memorial Organ in 2017 that we will hear a new sound from the instrument. given by David Furness in memory of Reverend Sue Is Zimbelstern. And there will be a plaque dedicating this new stop, which I will soon explain, back in the narthex with the other plaques and honoring items from the organ's installation. David has written a wonderful paragraph about the new organ stop in your bulletin, and I encourage you to read it. For now, I want to briefly introduce the sound of the stop to you and explain how it will be used in worship. Note that you'll hear the Zimbelstern many times, like 6 or 7 times, in worship today, but that will not be the norm. As David indicates, it will be used on occasion, but for today, we wanted to demonstrate its many different uses for its debut. Zimbelstern is a German term translating to symbol star, which is exactly what it is. As you might remember, Reverend Sue participated in our handbell ensemble, which served as the inspiration to David for this gift. When the stop is pulled, you will hear the sound of 6 handbells arranged in a circle, or a star, being struck. This sound will be used today to convey excitement and hymn introductions in the postlude, and will be used on hymn stanzas referencing heaven, angels, Christ's coming, communion, the Trinity, anything that encounters the divine. Our hope is that this new stop continues to enliven and enrich both the organ and our hymn singing at St. John's. As David writes, may Reverend Sue's memory live on in the ringing of the handbells in St. John's new Zimbelstern.
I want to invite you now to join me in taking a deep breath, always the best way to begin worship, I think, so that we might breathe in God's Spirit that fills this place, that we might breathe in the hope that is among us, and that as we exhale, we might have the mindfulness to set aside all that busies us, our minds and our hearts, all that distracts us, so that we can be fully present in this time and in this place, as we prepare to focus our hearts and our minds and our voices to worship this morning.
Thank you. I was glad when they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord," for something is unfolding, something is emerging.
A new birth is on the horizon.
Yes, the world is about to turn. A new beginning is underway, and we are called to be ready.
We are choosing to center our lives around the light of God.
For around this light, we sense hope, we see possibility, and we long for a world flowing with peace and justice. Let us join together as we confess our sins. Renewing and recreating God, we've been a bit guarded with our hope. We've read and heard of your promises, but still our hope seems jaded. It's been dampened by violence, dismissed as unrealistic, and mocked as naive and simplistic. And yet, you are the God of promise. The God whose word stands in the midst of all the idols and all the flash and false glitter. Restore in us, O God, a resilient hope, the kind others can see without our bragging or boasting, a hope that is quiet and confident, a hope that is rooted in love. Amen.
Friends, God is a God of promises, and the promise that God makes to us is a promise of forgiveness, of grace, of mercy, and of unending love. May we dare to accept that gift this day, may we share it freely with those we meet, and may it change the way that we live in this world. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And our gospel reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. "But about the day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing of the flood until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." I'm going to invite our children to come forward and join me on the steps. It's getting a little tight in the chancel, so we're going to have to move our party to the steps, I think. But plenty of room. I'm going to forget that if I leave that there. All right. Hello, hello. Hi. So how was Thanksgiving? You guys traveled, right? Did you see family? Did you get to see your family on Thanksgiving? Nice, wonderful. Well, a lot has changed here and out in the world between the last time we met together, even since like Friday and today. What has changed in our sanctuary since the last time we were here? There's Christmas everywhere, right? Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite, it is my favorite season here at St. John's, but everywhere, because I love all the decorations. Now, do you notice that there's a little bit more light in our sanctuary today? Is there more light? Okay, in this candle. Where else is there more light? Good. On the trees, right? Where else is there more light? There's a light on the star, right? There's a lot more light. And actually, the first answer is the one I wanted to talk about today. Well, let's hold off on that. So lights, which I brought today, are one of the first things that make me realize that Christmas is coming, right? Have you ever kind of noticed that? Like on Thursday, on Thanksgiving, you're outside and there's no lights. And then Friday night, when that happens, houses are decorated and everything. Well, I brought our own lights. Pastor Dale, would you hook me up with some electric down there? Because we want to be reminded that Advent is here, that Christmas is coming. Oh, I mean, I don't know if they'll let me keep these up here every week, but I think this week we need to keep some lights up here. So this is our reminder, because our lights are a good reminder that Christmas is coming in our world. but also in church. I'm going to put them up here. Now, why do you think light is so important at Christmas time? Why do you think light? Why do we put lights up? Have you ever wondered that? Why? It shows that you're happy. Yeah, I love that, right? It makes any situation a little bit happier. I actually keep Christmas lights up in my living room all year long because I like them. They make me happy when I turn them on. So if you're ever on a Zoom call with me, you might see my Christmas lights. Exactly, they make people happy. Is it getting darker earlier at night? Have you noticed that? It's getting dark around like 4:30 in the afternoon, right? So around this time, we start wanting more light, right? I also think that it gives us hope. Now, hope is the newest light that we are adding to our sanctuary today. And throughout the weeks of Advent, we'll be adding a little bit more light. As the days get shorter and shorter and darker, we are going to need to make sure that there is more light. So today, the light that we're lighting is the light of hope. And hope is all about anticipating. It's about looking forward. And we need a lot of hope to get us from here to Christmas, right? I was trying to explain to my nephew this week that he had to wait a whole month to get the things that we talked about on his Christmas list, if he's going to get them. And that's really hard for us to understand, right? From now until Christmas feels like a really long time because we're still in November. But our light of hope will keep burning all throughout this month. And next week, we'll add the light of love, and we'll add the light of joy, and we'll add the light of peace, and the light will keep us going. Okay? So as you see all the lights outside, as more and more people put up their Christmas lights, and as the days get darker and shorter, we will rely on that light to keep us going, right? To keep us happy, to keep us, to keep the energy up and all of the things well lit and beautiful, and we will be reminded that it is Christ's light that keeps us going, okay? All right, let's pray together, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together, okay? God, thank you so much for the gift of hope, for the light that it brings in our world, and for the ways that this light will keep us going throughout the dark days of Advent. Help us to be the light in the world. Help us to be reminded that that light brings happiness and hope and joy and peace and love wherever it goes. God, we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you throughout Advent. I'll try not to trip on these.
Thank you.
back in 2014, Tim Shaw and Neve White visited their friend in a psychiatric ward at a London hospital. Their friend had tried to take her life. And the couple went to offer their care, their love, and support. Psychiatric hospitals are not the kind of place that many of us would like to visit. I remember the psychiatric ward in which I visited a dear friend several years ago in Rochester, New York. It was sparse. It was severe, with white walls, thick wooden doors, and lots of security. When Tim and Neve visited their friend, they were stunned at how unwelcoming and how utterly inhumane this hospital felt. Tim Shaw commented, "It felt like the environment was doing the complete opposite of what you'd want it to. It'd make you feel unloved and unwanted." Now, Tim Shaw and Neve White are both artists. So they began to wonder what they could do. And 6 years ago, they founded a nonprofit called Hospital Rooms. And they recruit some of the leading artists around the world to help beautify British psychiatric hospitals. Today, some of the artworks found in these hospitals rival that which is found in British art museums. Of course, the idea of introducing art into hospitals at the scale envisioned by Tim and Neve was not an easy task. They weren't talking about just hanging a painting here or a poster over there. No, they were thinking big. In one of the hospitals is an atrium, and this atrium is as spacious in height as is this sanctuary. And painted in this atrium is a beautiful blue night sky with these incredible stars that are floating. In other hospitals, there are murals that are colorful and expand to fill an entire hallway. The goal of Hospital Rooms is to create intellectually stimulating and challenging work. It was, by all accounts, beyond what most people could ever imagine happening at a psychiatric hospital. Now, it took 2 years of negotiating with the hospital administration to begin this project, The administrators had safety concerns, and they were apprehensive that some art images might trigger unhealthy reactions on the part of patients. However, it was all worked through. And today, patients there say that this art is incredibly soothing. It's provocative, calming, awakening, challenging, and serene, much like you'd experience in any museum. What the Project Hospital Rooms did not want to do is to dumb down the art. They did not want to patronize hospital patients. One of the artists from this Project Hospital Rooms is quoted in an article in the New York Times saying, "These works provide a sanctuary space, a space of hope and connection." Some of the artists who are actually part of this not-for-profit spend time with the residents, and they actually teach them art. One artist, Sutapa Biswas, was working with a group of 5 patients with obsessive compulsive disorder. And she was asking for their design ideas, and then later taught them how to paint a night sky. Today is the first Sunday, in fact, the first day of Advent. It's a season dedicated to preparing for the birth of Christ and also preparation for Christ's coming again. You may have seen or heard the following quote: "Jesus is coming. Look busy." For a couple of thousands of years, Christians have focused on this so-called second coming of Christ. It's an expectation that Jesus will come in his fullness to rule the earth, a time in which God will exercise reign over creation and judge people and nations. It's a final fulfillment of God's plan for the entire creation. There are several references to Christ coming again in the New Testament. One of these references you heard read earlier in the service by Addie. It comes from Matthew's gospel. And in this reading, Jesus is teaching about the end times, the end of the age. And we learn that no one, not even Jesus, knows the end time. Only God. And yet, even though we've been given this very clear warning that we do not know when God will come again to fully claim and reign over the entire world, people still want to try to figure out when. Over the centuries, people have tried to look at Scripture for hidden codes and meanings. They've tried to crack the code, decipher the moment when Jesus would come again. And all kinds of imaginative scenarios and timelines have been developed and proposed. In today's lesson from Matthew, Jesus offers some very provocative images about the end of the age. Two women are in a field. One is taken up, one left behind. Two will be grinding meal, one will be taken. One will be left behind. The idea here is the unexpected nature, the surprising, unexpected nature of Christ's return. No one knows. Later in this same passage, we encounter an image of a homeowner. And Jesus said if he knew the time when the burglar was about to come to his house, he would have stayed awake to fend off the intruder. Well, think about this. It means that this homeowner might be up night after night after night, never going to sleep. But staying up always to wait for an intruder doesn't seem realistic, does it? I think it means that you and I cannot wait around patiently for the return of Jesus and just be idle. We